Even with Ed working late these past few weeks, she still so looked forward to the usual evening ritual. In this household, dinner occurred as soon as Ed came home. Fleece off and hanging on the back of the chair, his insisting on a few words of grace with their hands held. And yes, she knew that too would seem so old-fashioned to her friends. Then they'd chat about everyone's day, a conversation that was pretty much the same from evening to evening. How was your day? Anything unusual happen? What did the kids do at school? The veggie meatloaf would disappear in far less time than even its easy preparation took. But tonight, she looked again at the clock on the kitchen wall. She realised it really was getting late for Ed to be back. No sound of the car, no door opening, shutting. The kids were enjoying this bonus time watching TV, unaware, maybe except for their growling stomachs. But not Emma. Ed was not just late. He was worryingly late. It had got dark. Emma had gone to the window, clutching her phone in her hand. She had sent half a dozen messages to her husband, each one with a notch more alarm and concern. Messages like, "On your way? Home soon?" Before, after a time, they disintegrated into the simple and stark, "Where are you?" When she'd made an actual call to him, something she knew Ed didn't like at all, much preferring the simple back and forth of text messages, the call went to his voicemail right away. After two voice messages, one where she'd made every effort to hide her worry and a second where she could no longer do that, there was still no result. Now she was at the window again, peering into the darkness as if she might spot him. Just where the heck was he? Finally, Olivia popped up behind her. "Mum, where's Daddy? It's dinner time, right?" Emma looked down and quickly smiled. Though she herself felt alarm, there was no reason to worry Olivia. "Probably something came up at work. It's all right, sweetheart." Emma saw from Olivia's face that she was not exactly reassured by those words. Meanwhile, all sorts of ideas raced through Emma's head, from some terrible accident on the main road to a more benign late meeting on a project, his phone misplaced. She tried to nudge those thoughts in the latter direction, except Ed never misplaced his phone. There was something she absolutely knew about her husband. Any delay, any change, and he would be sure to call her. At the window, she looked down at her phone and fired off yet another message, not caring how desperate it might sound. "Ed, call me. I'm so worried." It was getting late. She went back to the kitchen. Time to feed the kids. Carry on, even though her worry kept growing. It was only later, the kids in bed, with both children clearly sensing something was up, that she realised that the time had come to do something. So, moving well away from the kids' rooms, near her own bedroom, standing in the hallway, she located the direct number for Cheringham Police Station. No need for a 999 call, she thought, not while there will be, must be, a perfectly logical explanation. Doing her best to control her voice, she told the policeman on duty, someone she had never had a reason to speak with before, Sergeant Rivers, what had happened. Or in this case, what hadn't happened. Then, after Emma tried to describe just how unusual, impossibly so, this all was, Sergeant Rivers asked in what she thought was such a calm and gentle voice, "Mrs. Finlay, do you have any idea where your husband could have gone after work?" Emma didn't answer that for a moment because she had no idea at all. Ed wasn't one to stop at the pub or make some last-minute trip to Tesco without telling her. "No," she said, "none at all. I just don't know." The officer, perhaps not understanding how orderly and measured their life was, said, "Don't know what, Mrs. Finlay?" She took a deep breath, the words to come themselves frightening, and she said, "I don't know what's happened to him, but I think it might be something bad."